Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Sunday Morning Breakfast Learning Center. We're so excited to have you all on the line and excited about continuing on counting the cost. Yes, counting the cost. There's so many things in our lives that we have to look at. What does it cost to do this? What do we have to give to do this? What are we, some may say, sacrificing to do this? We're counting the cost. We're looking at what it's going to take and the impact long term. And I'm gracious, truly gracious, that this is the subject that we are on this week. And I'm really excited about what we all have to share as in regards to what we learned this week. So without holding us back any further and getting us started, let's go ahead and hand the call over to our leader, Mr. Talius Carr. Good evening, Mr. Carr. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm sorry. I was just talking away and I was on mute, but I'm glad everyone is here on this evening so that we can engage the following up, the SMB Learning Center on the previous week, everything that we had constituted under the Word of God and everything that needs to go forth in the learning, you know, therefore, of this Word and the things that we have gathered and the information that you have gathered. I hope that everyone has an opportunity to share in some scripture, maybe some experiences, whatever it may be that God has placed on your heart. So, Ms. Tiana, go ahead.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Parr. Well, first, let us go ahead and pray so if everyone bow their heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to continue to serve you. We thank you for this opportunity to continue to look at counting the cost in and through our life, the choices, the decisions we make in and through. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, that you've given us the gift of free will. But we pray, Heavenly Father, that what we are walking in and the choices that we are making, that they're lined up with you, lined up with your plan. And Heavenly Father, we know that to be lined with you and to be aligned in your plan, Heavenly Father, we must be in your word. So, Heavenly Father, continue to guide us. Continue to walk through your word day in and day out so that, Heavenly Father, we know it when it is time to make a choice that's aligned with you. Bless all of those who are receiving of this word this evening, all of those who are here on the line. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for giving us this gift of this ministry. Heavenly Father, may we love one another and always you first. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Well, Heavenly Father, well, we're here. We're all here. We're all excited to be talking about counting the cost. And I just have to share with you all one of the great things. And I'm first and foremost, I just want to say good evening, and I'm grateful for my family who's here on the line with us tonight, who are also going to be sharing with us. So thank you, Ms. LaTanya. Thank you, Mr. DJ. But we are here. We are here, and we're talking about and reflecting upon counting the cost. And the one thing that really, really drew to me this week is talking about our stewardship and our responsibility of the things that are not ours, that we are responsible for maintaining. I love the question that we were asked last night, like, can you afford half the things that you've got? Can you afford it? And I had to crack up laughing when I heard that question, because back in the day when first got that moolah, that first job, was buying things that I always wanted, but did I need it? And it's funny how you get to a point in life when you realize that you don't need things anymore. So can you afford the stuff that you've got? Are you using the funds that God has given you in the ways that you're supposed to, or are you just racking up on stuff because that's, you got to have the stuff. You got to be in, have all the cool things. And then that next question that was asked, do you value something that was given to you freely? And that pre-call, I talked about education and how that's something that most of us have gone through public schooling. Most students at one point or the other have gone through public schooling. And that's something free that is given to us. Yeah, there may be taxes that our families have to pay and other things, but there's no charge for our day-to-day education. And that was something that I didn't appreciate while, of course, going through, but something that I appreciated much later, what free education has provided in the long run. But it was something that really take a step back, like, really? Something free given to you? Have you counted the cost of valuing it as it is and not worrying about if I didn't put anything on it, really, really doesn't matter. So those are just some things that came to mind. And I was wondering, Ms. LaTanya, is there something briefly that you learned or took away from this week?
Okay, briefly, well, let's see. You know, okay, one of the things that I learned this past week is more or less like a reminder for me. We talk about counting the cost, is how not following Christ by being disobedient, not reading and studying the word, harboring unforgiveness, and also one of the big things is seeing and also knowing of a fellow brother or sister in need and not helping is all costly. So we have to remember that God sees and knows all. And I was convicted because I was taken to the scripture. It's in James, I believe, chapter 2, verse 13. It states, there will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. And that was so profound for me amongst everything else that we've learned this past week. But that, I would have to say, is at the top of the list.
All right. That's a strong one. What's that scripture again?
The scripture reference, it's James chapter 2, verse 13.
I hope everyone wrote that down. That was absolutely powerful indeed. Mr. DJ, was there something briefly that you took away from this week that you wouldn't mind sharing, right?
Yes, just the fact that counting up the cost is not all financial. You need to ask yourself, is that worth it? Again, is that friendship or relationship, is it worth it? Me telling that lie, is it worth it? Value and worth is more than just money. Some things are very, very valuable that you can't put a price tag on. So when you think of those decisions, you know, make sure you put God first in everything, not just money, but everything. Just, you know, little situations here and there. And like you said, ask yourself, do you really need that? You know, oftentimes a wise man and my grandfather used to say, well, you know, us as a people, and you can read in between who us is. He said, we buy what we want. If it's the latest purse or the latest Michael Jordan tennis shoes, or you can stay in the projects and drive a $50,000 car, but you're still in the projects. So what is he saying? He's saying we buy what we want, but we tend to beg for what we need. Let the lights get cut off. Let them threaten to turn the gas off. Then that's when we want to holler, Mama or God, oh God, please help me, oh God. So what I'm saying is counting up the cost. You know, in everything that we do, it has a price. I mean, Christ paid the ultimate price for everything. So we shouldn't have any debt problems because he paid the price for everything. So just really take a second to pause and ask yourself, hey, you know, do I really need this? Is this really, really, really what I want? Is this something that I mean, not what I want. Is this really something that I need, or is it just that I want it? But very powerful message this past week, and I'm loving every last one of you all. You know, we can't wait to hear you guys call in and give your testimonies or your take on or questions about counting up the cost.
That's right. That's right. And as you said, Mr. DJ, what we need, right? What do we need? One of the things that I've had to learn over the years, which is one thing that sticks with me, is if I'm making a purchase, it's got to be something that's necessary. And if I'm making it, I better have the cash for it. It's one of the things I have so taken away because exactly that. I've learned and been in the environment where the credit card was used or we had to borrow from so-and-so or you take out, put on layaway. You do all these things for objects, but not on the things that we need to walk through life. And I've learned, and I had to learn and learn that example. we learn from our families, right? We can take things away from our families. I think Mr. Carr brought this up last night. We can learn from family, from friends, from situations, all that impact our credit. But do we learn what not to do as well? So one of the things I've taken on is, yeah, I may have a store credit card in one of my favorite stores. I always use the store card when I'm shopping. That's one of the things I use it when I'm shopping. Why? Because I get a benefit from it. I'm making an investment. But the same time that I make that purchase with that card, I pay that card the same amount that I just purchased. So I take out my debit card and I pay for that purchase at the same time. Why? So that now I don't have a credit issue. I'm not owing anybody anything later. But guess what? That card has given me a reward of some sort that I can use at another time. I've made an investment, but I'm not going to be in a situation where there's a credit crunch. But that's one of those learning situations that have had to occur over time. I learned from the examples of what not to do in counting the cost and buying things that I need, not necessarily what I want, but can learn the long-term effect of it. But you talked about finances. One of the funny things is the roulette table came to me this week. Don't know why, but I appreciate it. Why it came to me is because it's one of those things in the world. You have it. You can play it for fun. You can play it and gamble. I won't go there. But you have many choices on the roulette table. And before I go there, you know, we have choice. Typically, you can buy or sell when you have stock. It's two options. You rent or own when you decide how you want the shelter to live. Do you want to rent from someone or do you want to own your own? You can choose a dollar and a dream, right? They tell you can choose, go ahead, spend your dollar, or you can keep dreaming. You can be at the poker table. You can check, bid. You can go all in. Three choices. But at the roulette table, you can go black or red, sometimes green. You can go play a dozen, a column, odd or even. You can play a row, you can split, you can play a street or a corner, you can do a top line, six line. These are all the different ways of playing the roulette table, or you can go straight up, I'm playing red 7, or I'm playing black 20. But all those options is just like how we are in the world. You got to count the cost of what those options are. What is the investment that you're making? What is the actual payback? But it's so interesting that in the spirit, the only play is the straight-up play of choosing God. Yes, straight-up play, even a roulette, yields us the greatest, highest gains. Choosing God straight-up, not straddling the fence, not trying to have a bit of the world and a bit of God, that doesn't work. Playing straight-up choosing God may give us, what is that gift, the overwhelming yield, the everlasting life. And God tells us in His Word, choose one or the other, right? But we got to count that cost of what it is to not choose Him and choose Him wholly. We have to count that cost. But I love how we had on the Facebook page last night's post, pretty much said, counting the cost. We must give, what do we have to do to give to follow Christ? What do we have to give to follow Christ? If anyone has some ideas on what to give, please press *5. We'll be more than happy to hear. You know, but some for me are, I got to give love. Let's start with love. Last night we talked about tithes and offerings. But let's start number one with love. What do we have to give, Ms. LaTanya? What do we have to give?
Well, I don't know if we have anybody that's chimed in, but when you asked the question and the main thing that came up for me is my time. And I say my time, but it's ultimately God's time. So if we look at it, we can look at how we count the cost of the way that we spend our time. Okay, so we know that, okay, all of us are given the 24 hours a day, okay, 7 days a week. But a lot of times we find that large amounts of our time are not at our disposal. So it's taken up by, you know, the responsibilities that we have and obligations, but even problems. So the things that we don't even see coming our way. And it's oftentimes not because of something bad that we did, but it's just what was allowed to happen. And on the flip side of that, a lot of times those things are because of the things that we do, the decisions that we make. And what happens is we end up in situations because initially we did not count the cost. So we made a decision to act before we thought, is this going to be helpful in any way? How is this going to strengthen my faith in God? Is this going to pull me farther away from God and hinder my relationship with Him? So we talked about this past week, you know, like we worked the two jobs and then we say, well, I can't make Bible study. I can't make church service. But did God say that you were, you know, supposed to work two jobs? But ultimately, the main thing to ask here is God going to be pleased with what I'm about to do, how I am investing my time? So how much time are we spending in prayer? How much time are we spending reading and studying God's word? You know, how much time is spent helping the needy, someone that is in need that we know of? But also, you know, for those of us that can relate to this, how much time do we spend gossiping? And how much time do we spend going out to the club and different things like that? So have we counted the cost of doing those frivolous things with our time that could be spent in more fruitful ways? And, you know, a lot of us waste the precious time doing these things, and we do it to appease what we want instead of fulfilling the call that God has placed before us. So, you know, that's one of the things that I think we all can relate to. And for me was just the way that, you know, we spend our time.
Amen. There's a lot to do with our time, a lot that we can be doing with our time. And it's prioritizing, right? The question is, what is our priority? And are we counting the cost in our selection of that time? Is there something, Mr. DJ, that you can think of that we must give to follow Christ?
I think we must give Him simply what He asks of us.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing we need to do is give Him what we owe Him. I mean, He asked for a tenth, and, I mean, He asked us to basically believe in Him and follow Him. I mean, it's strange that you ask that, because I'm sitting here pondering why we won't just do right. It's like a child. I always tell my daughter, I never got a whipping for the same thing twice. You're not gonna whip me 2, 3, 4, 5. My mom didn't have to do that. One time, that's all it took. She told me don't go outside, and you gave me a whipping. I'm not ever going outside ever again. That's how I was. A lot of these children nowadays, oh, Lord. Like, we just visited this yesterday. Then we, you know, you get tired. I don't get that. So it's like that with Christ. You know, I'm pretty sure He said to all of us, you know, then we just had this conversation. Then you just ask me for this. Then you say, deliver me from this. And I've done that. How many more times do I have to do that? You know, so just being obedient is one thing. Obedience, having faith. I mean, if He's telling you that it's all good, if He's told you that the fight is finished, it's won, when He starts a story, He does the ending first. He leaves the middle details up to us. But he has the ending, so why not do right? I'm saying if the fight is finished, why not take a chance? You know, so I just don't understand, you know, and I'm talking to myself when I say that. Because like I said, if we would just be as obedient as we are supposed to and follow His rules, you know, we honestly wouldn't have any, if everybody done this, we wouldn't have any of such problems. You know, we wouldn't have to worry about certain things. His system is undisputed. And it's like with the Bible and Him, either you believe in Him or you don't. You can't pick Him and choose Him. You can't make Him your Sunday God. You know, some of us get ready on Sunday, and, oh, we just holy, 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 holy. We're an ocean skipper. You know, we get on and preach and talk, and, you know, we just Christian, Christian, Christian. And then no sooner as we get in traffic, oh, Lord, that's when all that go out the window.
Yeah.
You know, that's how we get in traffic. Oh, my God. Well, I don't know about you all, but here in Atlanta, we have some traffic. So I'm just saying, you know, a lot of us just, you know, just lose it. Or you make Him your Wednesday God. Or your Sunday God, or, you know, you know, I'm just saying, if we would serve Him and put Him first, as He asked us to, and trust Him Because like I said, either you believe in them or you don't. You know, so if we were to do that, I think everything would work out all right.
Yeah, excuse me. Yes, it would. And what is some of that obedience? Some of that obedience is being patient, right? Patient in those traffic situations. Okay.
Definitely.
I actually have an old college friend who has patience literally taped onto his steering wheel so that he has a constant reminder of what he's supposed to do behind the wheel. We got to be what kind. It's good, right? It really
That's
is.
Good.
Constant reminder.
That's good.
We got to be kind. We've got to forgive, right? We got to show others the same grace and mercy that's been shown to us. We must give graciously and ungrudgingly, right? We must do for others which they can't do for themselves. I love the book of Philemon. And those who haven't read it, it was one chapter. Philemon, chapter 1, verse 18 states, "If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me." This was a letter that Paul wrote to Philemon on behalf of a young man who worked with him. And literally, for what this young man couldn't do for himself, Paul said, "I will take it on." That was giving. That was so gracious. That was ungrudgingly owning what someone else. He counted the cost of that responsibility to take on this individual's debts. I'm not saying that's we got to take on debts. We even talked about it last night. Did you co-sign for something that you weren't supposed to co-sign for? But it's knowing in the spirit, right? Knowing in the spirit whether or not this is something that we ought to take on. If he has done any wrong to you or owes you anything, charge it to me. It's truly counting the cost of walking in our word and giving as God has given to us, taking care of another, a family, a friend, even a foe when God calls us to do so. And we must learn from those exact things, must learn from those lessons from those who come before us and continuously count those costs. And we so many ways. There's so many different ways, and we've touched on so many tonight, counting on the cost with our time, counting on the cost with making our choices, counting on the cost of doing all that God called us to do, which is to what? First and foremost, love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. And secondly, love our neighbors as ourselves. Yeah. That's what he's calling us to do. There's so much more in the word. I think we can probably be on this call a whole nother hour delivering on the cost of being a disciple, walking as an actual disciple. Matthew chapter 10, just to leave you something to walk away with, to even study and read on your own. Matthew chapter 10 truly, truly calls out all the things of what it is, the cost of following Christ, what is expected to come, whom all we may get threats, physical harm, public ridicule and rejection from, and how in and through it all, God's love is what sustains us, counting the cost. But before we go any further, we do have one caller who has something that they would like to share this evening. Good evening, caller. Hope all is well. What do you have to share this evening?
Good evening, everybody. I wanted to share a scripture, Philippians 3, 7 through 9, and it says, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through the faith in Christ, the righteous that comes from God on the basis of faith."
Amen. Amen. The cost of our faith. Carla, would you mind sharing the scripture again? Corinthians, you said?
So Philippians 3, 7 through 9.
3, 7 through 9, the cost of our faith. Amen. Paul, awesome, awesome scripture. Thank you so much for sharing that this evening.
You're welcome.
So much that we can take away from it on the cost of our faith. What exactly is it that it costs us to have the faith and to trust in God? And man, it is extremely powerful of what it is. When we count it, we get to walk away with that knowledge that he has it all under control, that knowledge that if we put our faith and trust in him, it is all taken care of. He tells us that the burden's light, that he tells us that the burden is light, that we can really put it all on him. Trust and believe, and we can walk through and count the cost and know that he's invested in us. All we have to do is invest in him. All right. I hope something was truly said, that you all received something tonight. But before we close, I'd like to open up Mr. Carr. Is there anything more you would like to share this evening?
Yeah, a few things that I do hope that everybody can take away, even with counting the cost from this past week. Can somebody turn to Jeremiah 12:5 right quick?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah 12:5 states, "If you have raced with men on foot and they have worn you out, how can you compete with horses? If you stumble in safe country, how will you manage in the thickets by the Jordan?"
Read it again.
Jeremiah 12:5. "If you have raced with men on foot and they have worn you out, how can you compete with horses? If you stumble in safe country, how will you manage in the thickets by the Jordan?"
Well, mm-hmm. Read it one more time and stop at the middle part.
Yes, sir. "If you have raced with men on foot and they have worn you out, how can you compete with horses?"
So you count the cost with everything that you've done, even with this past week, count the cost. We quickly say we're sick and tired of people. In other words, if people wear you out, how are you going to race against a horse? You can't beat a person on foot. You do know horses are how many times faster than a human? Y'all know. All that horsepower you have in your car.
Yes.
Can a human race a horse, Mr. DJ? Can a human win?
No, sir.
So when we count the cost of things, we got to be very mindful. Look at what God is saying. Jeremiah 12:5, write it down. Okay. You got to count the cost. Do you really want to follow God? Shoot, we got a problem with following the relationship that we're in. The mankind. We get sick of that. If humans wear you out, you think you can race against a horse? If we can't manage the natural, you really want to tussle in the spiritual realm? It's going to cost you something. Y'all, that's a powerful scripture if y'all didn't realize.
Yes.
Now, see, this is where it gets interesting, because if we didn't say this, we'd say, oh, that's their interpretation. No, that comes straight from God. That's why he said, "My sheep know my voice."
Amen.
My sheep know my voice. We don't know order in the natural realm, get along order in the spiritual realm. It's going to cost you something. Let me give you another little scripture right quick as we get ready to close out this week with the S&B Learning Center. Okay. Write down Proverbs 4:7, everybody. Proverbs 4:7, and I'm going to read it. The Bible says, "Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. Okay, let me give you another version. It says, the beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding.
Amen.
Let me read the easy-to-read Bible. The very first step to becoming wise is to look for wisdom, to look for it. So use everything you have to get understanding. Why is it always understanding and wisdom tied in together? Well, let me give you the definition of wisdom. Wisdom, by definition, is understanding knowledge gained by experience. Understanding knowledge gained by experience. To the smart ones out there, that's why we say, well, as you get older, you get wiser. No, let me tell you spiritually, that has no bearing on God, your age.
Amen.
Why did he make King Solomon a young man, y'all? You know how your grandmamas and grandfathers, 87 years old? King Solomon was well beneath the age. He wasn't even 30. And God said he's the wisest person that would ever, other than Jesus, on the foot of this earth. Now, I thought we had to gain experience. But you know what happened? He prayed for experience. He erred, too. But see, the thing is, experience with God is different from experience with man. See, experience with God says I have an understanding. I see things the way that God sees them. That's my experience. In other words, he's been through it. I don't have to go through it to be considered experienced in this season.
Amen.
Amen.
It's going to cost you a little something. It's going to cost you everything you have. See, the problem is, counting the cost, we don't want to let go of our worldly ways. You know how many conversations I encounter, Ms. LaTanya, on a daily basis? Because people always say stuff like, well, that's your view. Well, see, my thing is, let's take my view off of it, take your view off of it, and let's tell me God's view. But see, the conversation ends right there because nobody wants to talk about God's view because they know God's view is going to outweigh their view, and they don't want to put their view to the side.
Yes, Lord.
The Bible clearly says lean not to your own understanding. See, the thing is, when you gain wisdom, that means it's going to cost you your pride. Hold on, y'all. We need to go back to Proverbs 4:7. It says the beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding. See, understanding, you know what blocks understanding? Pride. You know why we don't want to get wisdom? It's because we don't want to let go of pride. In other words, pride is all you have, and it's going to cost you something to let it go.
Yes, Lord.
Women rights, pride. Black power, pride. Men's rights, pride. Single mother, pride. Cut that out. Get an understanding. It costs you everything you have. That means you got to let go of something called pride. We don't want to let it go. That's why it don't cost us nothing, because we keep everything that, you know, pride that we have. See, to get an understanding, that means you got to let go of everything that you have experienced and take on God's understanding. We don't want to let go what we experience. You know why? Because we have been scorned. We have been hurt by the church. That's our experience. But God said, if you take on my experience, you're not going to look at that hurt as hurt. You're going to look at it as a wisdom thing. In other words, I counted the cost. In other words, I can go to places where I've been hurt and love on them because, see, I look at it from God's view, not mine.
Amen.
But the reason why your heart is hard, because your experience made it hard, not God's experience. So would you consider yourself wise? Because if you're wise, then you have God's understanding. So let me ask that question again. Do you consider yourself wise? Because if you're wise, you have God's understanding. Let me ask that again. Do you consider yourself wise? If you're that wise without and within, why do you argue with God's word? God doesn't argue with himself. So if his word in you, why are you mad when you're being challenged?
Right.
It costs you everything you have. The reason why we get angry, because, see, that's a spirit you don't want to let go. See, when something costs something, you know how, you know, you'd be like, DJ want to get married. DJ, I want to marry this lady. But that ring that cost me $10,000. I don't want to let go of $10,000.
See, when you don't want to let go of something, it's about to be a big fight.
That's right.
Because you value it more than what you have to gain. You value your pride more than you value God's wisdom. Stop me when I'm wrong.
Some of us have that same argument Sunday morning when that collection plate passed around.
Yes.
He came straight from left field. He's telling y'all about this.
I know y'all see them talk about. Put in this $100, but I, you know, ooh.
It's going to cost you something, and it's going to cost you everything that you have. Okay? That means all that was groomed to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to cost you something. Count the cost to follow God. If God told you right now that you would never be married, some of y'all hang up the phone and never call back in. You know why? Because your understanding goes by your experience, and you say God has something for me, or God has something for everybody. But if you took on God's experience, if that be the case, well, why was Jesus' bride? But see, when you about following God and counting the cost, that means I go with my daddy and say, go. I know I may want to be married, but that might not be in his plan, so I let go of everything that I have. It cost me something. That means I got to let go of everything I have, Miss Tiana, to get what he, that's the cost of following him.
Amen.
Uh-huh. I told somebody today, I said, boy, Sunday morning breakfast is different. Because, see, a lot of places you go, no knock on nobody, but somebody going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you what God say. God didn't promise you a husband. He didn't promise you a wife. God promised you that if you follow him, that he would give you eternal life.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yes.
See, half of us live in life because of what we want from God. But God lived his life to give you life, but now he wants to see of those who love him, are you going to return the favor? When God lived, when Jesus Christ lived, he sacrificed everything he had for you and I. He counted the cost. He looked and peeked into your future, and he said you was worth it. So that means he gave up sex. Don't you know every sin known to, every temptation known to mankind, Jesus Christ had on him?
Yes, Lord.
Huh? Sex didn't elude him? Huh? Maybe a little sippy dip here and there, just a little squig, a little, you know, a little gin and juice. That didn't elude him. The thing is, he didn't do it because of a higher purpose, you and I. Now, he valued us more than he valued desires.
Yes.
Y'all got to hear me. So the thing is, the flip side of this is, we got to value him more than we value our own personal desires. Count the cost. Are you willing to give up everything you have to follow him?
Mm-hmm.
The personal goals. I know that's your child and you want to see them go do this, that, and other. But you say that's your child, but did you have it or did God have it? Did he just use you as a medium?
All right.
Because if it was your child, as soon as they step foot in heaven, why isn't the name the same? I wonder why. Matter of fact, the name not going to be the same. I wonder why. But see, the thing is, when you count the cost, that means, God, I didn't care about it here on earth. So you know I ain't going to care about it in heaven. That means whatever you want to call me, you call me. See, if you read the first scripture, read the first one again, Jeremiah. Read it again, Miss Sienna.
Absolutely. Scripture is Jeremiah 12:5, which states, if you have raced with men on foot, and they have worn you out, how can you compete with horses? If you stumble in safe country, how will you manage by the Jordan?
Thank you. If you have raced with men on foot, and they've worn you out, how do you think you can compare against horses? Sum up, counting the cost. If we can't give to the natural and facilitate and give everything that God says is going to cost us, you know we can't do it in the spiritual realm. So Satan makes us look like a fool.
That's right.
He did it with the old young guy who had it going on in Christ. I want y'all to know that guy had it going on in the Bible. He had it going on. He wasn't a sinner. He had it going on. He said, what more must I do? Jesus said, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor. Well, that was his biggest hang up, right? Yeah, that was his vice. In other words, he said to Jesus' face, he insinuated, it's going to cost too much to follow you, so I can't do it. If God told you to give up your biggest vice right now, whether it be spending, whether it be gossip, whether it be, you know, high and mightiness, holier than thou, sex, alcoholism, mistreating others, mistreating yourself, negativity. If you had to give up that to follow God, would you? Or would it be too tempting to let go? You know your vice. I don't. I got my own. Now the thing is it more effective? We know it's not. Is it more efficient? We know it's not. But does it have your attention more than God has? So you got to weigh your options, your pros and cons to each. Because people think that there are cons to following God. They think that it's a boring life. They think that with Christianity you had to give up so much and then you just become boring and tired and worn out and, you know, you're not, you know, exuberant and it's just you're not, you don't have the freedom that you think you should have. And you're not free until you're in God.
Amen. Amen.
You have to count the cost. What is it worth to you? You have to ascribe a value to God. Is he worth giving up everything? You make your own choice. Okay? Make your own choice. But you got to understand, you got to live with your own choice too.
Yes.
Okay? Because I like to fast forward times until the day of judgment. And if you can fast forward, is everything that we have here on earth worth putting before God? Now, I know it's easy for us to say, well, I don't put things before God. Well, that's what our mouth say, but, hey, we good at this. Actions speak louder than words. What your actions say? What your actions say? Very important. I just had a conversation last night. Okay. Just last night. Have them all the time. In the last days, you can see people in ministry fighting against people in ministry. That's not God. Angels don't quarrel. You know why they're fighting against God? Because somebody wants your attention more than another person. And when they see you getting close to another ministry, they want to try and knock that other ministry and tell you that ain't of God. But let me tell you this. If another ministry got to talk about the one they're talking don't need, you might want to be careful.
Yes, Lord.
Witchcraft. Let me tell you a little bit about witchcraft. Witchcraft wants to manipulate and control you in a domineering way, but it comes across as a smile. Because if people are interested in you learning about God, it shouldn't matter where you go. They don't have to tell you, you know, well, let me check it out to see how good it is. Baby, the same God that you serve should be the same God that we both serving, so why you get mad at me?
Yes, Lord.
Huh? Be careful of that now. I'm telling you. Because, see, then people want to be hands-on because they want to be over in control. But, see, God doesn't want to be in control. God wants you to give him control. Satan wants to take control. So which one does that person most look like, Satan or God? God don't force himself on anyone. Remember, the Holy Spirit is a pure gentleman. He waits till you get your mind together. Now, that person trying to influence you, who does the influence? And Satan, okay, you tell me what's happening. Be careful here. Be careful. Because I really have, you know, I don't take it lightly. As we count the cost, I don't take it lightly. Especially when people say, my pastor said, stop saying that. Don't even say what Mr. Carr said. You need to have a direct relationship with God.
Don't let people validate you. Well, somebody else got to let me call in and let me go and see what they're talking about, and then I'm going to tell you whether they're good or not. Tell them to talk to me. See, I like to do things head up. Don't hide behind that. Because spirits recognize spirits. And if somebody got to validate your position in Christ, Lord, what does that make you? Hello, somebody?
Indeed.
Yeah. Let us go ahead and pray, Mr. DJ.
Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of another Sunday morning breakfast meeting of the minds, Father, we ask that you keep us safe. We ask that you keep us on the path and uplift your name, Father. We ask that something said may inspire us to come together and to give you all the credit, the power, and the glory, Father. We ask that you continue to bless us, give us traveling grace, mercy, and, Father, bless us. Bless our families, friends, enemies, and acquaintances. Help us to grow our ministry and to just touch somebody's heart, Father. In these things that I ask, in your Son Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Y'all have a great night. Catch us for Bible study on Wednesday, okay? Wednesday Bible study, 8 o'clock. Y'all be safe until then.
All right. Good night. Good night.